As the world prepares to celebrate the International Year of Astronomy, a seminar in Rome this week looks at science 400 years after the astronomer Galileo's first use of the telescope. Born in Pisa in 1564, Galileo was one of the most important mathematicians, physicists, astronomers, and inventors of his era. Through his telescopic observations, he discovered sunspots, the moon's pocked and mountainous surface, and Jupiter's satellites. But Galileo is best known, perhaps, for his controversy with the Church over his theory of heliocentrism, whereby the Earth revolves around the Sun. At that time, the generally held theological view attested that the Sun revolved around a stationary Earth. As a result, Galileo was put on trial on suspicion of heresy by Church officials and was forced to retract his teachings on heliocentrism. In 1992, Pope John Paul formally acknowledged that the Church had erred when it condemned Galileo for maintaining that the Earth revolved around the Sun. Next year, the Church will be honouring Galileo by erecting a statue of the great scientist inside the Vatican City State. The move is timed to coincide with the International Year of Astronomy and the 400th anniversary of Galileo's first use of the telescope to observe the cosmos. One of those taking part in the seminar this week in Rome is Father George Coyne, an astronomer and priest and the Director Emeritus of the Vatican Observatory. He spoke to me about the seminar and the figure of Galileo.
Well, I'm not sure that it is intended to show a great deal of new light on Galileo. I think it's intended, though I'm not one of the organizers, to repeat and reemphasize how significant Galileo was in the birth of modern science, and that all science that has followed since that time really owes a great deal to Galileo as a pioneer. Not only him, of course, but he was certainly one of the great pioneers of what we call modern science. The significance of Galileo to me as an astronomer is very clear. He was the first to use a telescope to look at the heavens and be curious about what he saw. That curiosity was the beginning of modern science. He introduced, for the first time in 2,000 years, new data. He listened to the universe speaking to him through his telescope rather than telling the universe what it should be like, which is what Aristotle did. I'm simplifying things quite a bit, but I think that position of Galileo with respect to the universe is his significant contribution to the birth of modern science. Listen to the universe and then try and understand what you're listening to or what you're seeing.
Now, their plans to erect a statue of Galileo inside the Vatican to mark next year's celebration of the International Year of Astronomy and the 400th anniversary of Galileo's first use of the telescope to observe the cosmos, as you mentioned just now. How significant is this planned move? Do you think it will help quell those who still maintain that the Church is hostile to science and Galileo, despite the Church's admission that it erred during the controversy over heliocentrism with the astronomer?
No, I think a symbolic move like this will not change the mind of those who already have their mind made up, but it surely will be a great symbol of the unity of Church with the scientific endeavor. That is, it looking back in history, the Church has already admitted that there were mistakes made on both sides through the Galileo Commission. And now this symbol of the Church placing a statue of Galileo at the Pontifical Academy of Sciences is surely a symbol to the whole world, and a symbol can always be interpreted in different ways. And we have to respect that people will interpret it in different ways. But the Pontifical Academy of Sciences brings together scientists in various fields from around the world. Those scientists are Christian, Muslim, Jewish, atheist, agnostics, they're scientists and recognized as such. And I think to have a symbol with the statue of Galileo at a place where scientists from all around the world, regardless of their religious beliefs, their cultures, etc., are coming together to do science, I think is a very significant symbol.
You mentioned there that there are still going to be some who are not going to be perhaps convinced about the Church's position when it comes to Galileo. And of course, as you remember, earlier this year, Pope Benedict cancelled a planned visit to Rome's La Sapienza University after some professors wrote a letter protesting the visit, saying that Pope was hostile to science. And one accusation that they made at that time was that the Pope was against Galileo. But, I mean, they got it wrong, didn't they?
They did get it wrong, but I don't know the details of that. I was not in Italy at the time this controversy arose. I followed it only in, you know, newspapers in the United States. So I don't think I can really speak with any sort of informed voice about that. But I don't think it's certainly, in my mind, unjustified to say that Pope Benedict or the modern church in any way still looks upon Galileo with a bit of suspicion. I just don't think that's true.
Right, coming back to Galileo himself, what important lessons did he teach the church?
I think at the very bottom of all the controversy that has many, many difficult details to disentangle, but I think at the bottom of it, Galileo taught the church of those years, and consequently the church at any time, that a renowned scientist, and Galileo was that, through the publication of his The Starry Message, Sidereus Nuncius, he was renowned around the world for his write-up of the telescopic observations and his first interpretation of them. So he was a renowned scientist, and I think the essential wrong of the church was not to allow him to continue to pursue his research. And that's true of any time. If a renowned scientist is pursuing a significant field of research, then he should be allowed to continue that research. Provided, of course, that the methods used for the research are ethically acceptable, but that had no application. I mean, to Galileo, it was clearly ethically acceptable. So I think the frustration of Galileo that he was not allowed to continue in his research when he was on the right path to major discoveries. And I think that's a lesson for all times. And my own opinion, being a scientist working within the church, as the church has learned that lesson.
Of course, Galileo's condemnation by the church is often used to symbolise the tensions between science and religion. But do you think, in some way, science and religion are destined to always be in conflict with one another? Do you think there's always going to be some kind of misunderstanding, some kind of mistrust there?
Now, there is a very great difference between tension and conflict. And I think there are very significant differences. I think there are tensions. There will always be tensions in such important, significant fields of human endeavor that have at their basis very different knowing systems, systems to come to the truth. Tensions, if correctly reviewed, if correctly applied, can be very helpful for the advance of knowledge. So surely there are tensions, and to my mind, there will continue to be tensions. But that's a very healthy thing. I mean, science is based upon rationality, purely rational research, with a very strict methodology of experimentation, observations, mathematical applications to develop scientific theories, whereas the church is a very different approach. The church listens to God's word in the scripture and in church traditions, And that's a very different approach than a scientific methodology, trying to listen to what the natural world has to say. But that can be a very healthy tension. And I think in our days, it's becoming always a more healthy tension between people who, scientists who are open, that is, they don't use science either to declare God or to deny God, and for theologians and philosophers within religious traditions who are open to the best of science. And I think today we're seeing a very great improvement in that, in dealing with those very tensions.
Okay, still on the subject of those tensions, how would you personally answer those critics who say that religion is somehow an obstacle to the advancement of human knowledge?
First of all, it's absurd just based upon history. Okay, many great scientists have been very devout religious believers, starting with Galileo, Newton, Descartes, Leibniz, Kepler, up through many, many modern scientists. So first of all, the historical basis for that is absurd, and the reasoning behind it, to my mind, is rather absurd. Why should there be a sort of intrinsic conflict between scientific endeavor and religious belief? I mean, we Jesuits at the Vatican Observatory are a perfect example of this. We're serious scientists, and yet we are believers, and we're well-trained in philosophy and theology also. So I'm not just patting us on our back, because there are many other scientists of that caliber. And so the new atheism is frankly, it has no rational basis to it. And it's a very poor reading of history, to my mind. Any scientist who steps outside of scientist, I repeat, to either bolster his religious belief or to declare an atheism is not doing science, and he's not listening to the whole of human experience. I mean, a scientist is not a walking brain. We're a walking laboratory. We're human beings. And I think many times the modern-day scientific atheism refuses to see the totality of human experience.
I was speaking to Father George Coyne, Director Emeritus of the Vatican Observatory.